Welcome back to The Hardcore Therapist, where we explore topics related to mental health and personal growth. I'm your host, Sarah, and today we have an important discussion ahead. We want to emphasize right from the start that this podcast episode does not replace the need for professional therapy. It is crucial to acknowledge that while self-help and self-improvement tools can be valuable, they are not a substitute for therapy when needed. Hey, everyone. On today's episode, I have had a ton of questions from people wanting me to explain a little bit more about disordered eating and eating disorders. Disordered eating and eating disorders is something that I am passionate about, but also I work with a lot of clients who have either one of them. And so I'm going to go into them because oftentimes disordered eating can lead to an eating disorder. And it's sometimes hard to understand the distinction. And this list that I'm going to give you is not limited to just these things, but they are definitely the main things that I see. So, first of all, what disordered eating is, it's like a wide range of abnormal eating behaviors that doesn't necessarily meet a diagnosis of an eating disorder. It can be like restrictive eating, binge eating, purging, obsessively counting calories and micronutrients. Disordered eating patterns may fluctuate and can be triggered by various different things, such as stress, body image concerns, society, or emotional issues. While disordered eating can be serious and may lead to negative health consequences, it doesn't always meet the diagnostic criteria for clinical eating disorder. A lot of people who suffer from, excessive exercising or, I'll be very honest that I wouldn't eat white foods for a long time was a big thing for me, because I thought white foods would make you fat. It's not true. But I definitely had these like patterned behaviors that were pretty disordered. And, I worked, in the fitness industry for a long time. What happens is people will just be like, no, this is totally normal eating. It is normal to do these things. And I understand, like, it's normal to look at food in different ways and when you want to get a specific aesthetic. But, if you become fearful of food, it becomes other kind of disordered eating and eating disorder. So I want to get into some very common eating disorders. And I want to talk about one that I don't think people know that much about, but I have been seeing a lot more of recently within my practice. So these eating disorders are a serious mental health condition. So, like, they're in the DSM-5 where you do all of your diagnostics, but also they can be part of a comorbidity, which means that they would be with possibly something else like anxiety, depression, PTSD, some of those things. Oftentimes, people who have disordered eating might have, again, anxiety, PTSD, depression, something else that might be causing it. But sometimes what happens is the eating disorder can be the primary diagnosis when someone has a true eating disorder. If they have if they have disordered eating, it wouldn't be their primary cause why you're seeing them. So you might be trying to figure out more why they're doing what they're doing. So within the eating disorder community, like, you cannot do the things that you would do with disordered eating. So, for instance, I'm certified intuitive eating counselor. I couldn't do intuitive eating with someone who has anorexia. I'm just going to use that as an example. And I'll explain why a little bit, but I think that just understanding that there's eating behaviors that are associated about thoughts and emotions, and there's a lot of different ones. So I think most people know anorexia and bulimia and possibly binge eating disorder, but I'm going to go over them quickly and just talk about what they are. And we can kind of work through this all together because this is something I really think a lot about and study about. And it's really important to me to help people because I don't know that people always notice when they're having disordered behavior when it comes to food. Okay. So anorexia nervosa is probably the most common eating disorder characterized by extreme restriction of food intake, fear of gaining weight, and disordered body image. So having a disordered body image does not just is just not aligned with anorexia nervosa. It's all eating disorder. There's usually a disordered body image, and that often comes from like an obsessive compulsion. And I definitely work with people who have disordered body images who have obsessive compulsive behavior. So that is definitely something that happens when you have one of these types of things like anorexia. Bulimia is a little bit more difficult because oftentimes people don't realize they have an eating disorder because it's easier to hide. What happens a lot of times is there's episodes of binging followed by behaviors such as self-induced vomiting or misusing laxatives or diuretics, fasting, or excessive exercise. So if you've heard of anyone who might be orthorexic, they actually might have bulimia nervosis because they are assuming that they can exercise. If they keep on exercising, whatever they ate would wouldn't be such a big deal. So that's bulimia. I can get more into that. If anyone wants to know more about these things, I can talk a lot more about them, but I just want to give kind of an overview here. Binge eating disorder. It involves with occurrence of episodes of binge eating without compulsive I cannot talk. Every time I do an episode, I can't say words. Compensatory behaviors. So this is like individuals with binge eating disorder feel a loss of control during these episodes and may extreme ex have experiences of shame and guilt afterwards. So after, like, let's just say you eat a whole pizza. I'm using that as an example. No shame. But then you're sitting there beating yourself up about eating that pizza and what that means and how like bad you are and stuff like that. That is a binge eating disorder. Again, this is just a general term. We can get into it more if anyone wants to know more information. Now, oftentimes this happens with people. People don't realize that there's other things. So there's when you're using the DSM-5, there is it's called OSFED. So it's other specified feeding or eating disorders. And they're diagnosed using classifying eating disorders that don't fit the criteria for specific diagnosis like anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, or binge eating disorder. It encompasses a range of symptoms and behaviors related to disordered eating that still significantly impact an individual's life, but don't meet the full criteria for another specific eating disorder. I'm going to give you examples, and then the last one I'm actually going to give you is the one that I am now seeing a lot more of that people don't know a lot about. So number one is atypical anorexia. This occurs when an individual exhibits symptoms of anorexia nervosa but does not meet the low weight criteria outlined in the diagnostic criteria, they may still have a fear of gaining weight and intense body image concerns and restrictive eating patterns. This you will often see in older women, like older, like as in me, my age, so like in their 50s, where they are eating very few calories. And they don't understand why they can't lose weight. And they are constantly focused on their bodies. I see this a lot in older women. I don't see it as much in teens, but I definitely see it, you know, in that 30 to 55-year-old range. I'm seeing it a lot more than I have before. Bulimia nervosa with low frequency or limited durations. I often see this a lot with my clients who have bulimia, where they engage in binge eating and purging behaviors, but not frequently enough or long enough periods to meet the diagnostic criteria for bulimia nervosa. So, like, this would be a secondary diagnosis, and maybe they have PTSD as their first diagnosis. Purging disorder. In a purging disorder, individuals engage in purging behaviors such as vomiting, using laxatives, excessive exercise to control their weight or shape, but without binge eating episodes. This distinguishes from bulimia nervosa. So they're just doing the purging behavior. Again, orthorexia, people are hearing that. That's kind of like been like a, I feel like the last 10 years or so, that's been like a big buzz word. Orthorexia would fit into this purging disorder where people excessively exercise to control their weight and or shape. Night eating syndrome. So this is a very interesting one. I don't have a lot of people who have this, but I have had worked with a few people. What it involves is recurring episodes of night eating where a person consumes a significant portion of their daily food intake during nighttime awakening or has strong urges to eat after awakening from a sleep. They also experience a lack of appetite in the morning. I believe that night eating syndrome happens because people are restricting their food all day long, and they're so restrictive with their food that they go to bed hungry and they wake up famished. And so they do this. There's other things. It could be hormonal. There's a bunch of different things that could be happening of why someone might have a night eating syndrome disorder. But like, this is something to be aware of is when people are chronically dieting, they might end up having some of this stuff. So if this happens, like this is something that is definitely a topic to talk about. Atypical binge eating disorder. Again, this is similar to atypical anorexia neurosis. This involves binge eating episodes, but does not meet the frequency or duration criteria for a diagnosis of binge eating disorder. Again, this could be a secondary diagnosis. Subthreshold eating disorder. Okay, so this is a category encompassing individuals who exhibit symptoms of eating disorder but do not meet the full diagnostic criteria of a specific one. This could include behaviors such as frequent dieting, occasional binge eating, or purging, or significant weight and shape concerns without meeting other criteria. So this is kind of like, I believe that this really is a newer topic because of the disordered eating. This is a very disordered eating pattern. And usually, if you're coming in for therapy for this, that you're the person that you should be working with should have a good awareness and understanding of what this looks like. Now, one that I am seeing more and I wanted to kind of explain a little bit more is something called ARFID. I have about five clients right now who are suffering with ARFID. Again, I asked them if I could say that out loud. I'm not going to tell you about any of them. But what it stands for is avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. So it's new to the DSM-5, and it's characterized by restrictive eating habits, avoidance of certain foods, or reluctancy to eat due to a sensory issue, fear of adverse consequences such as choking or vomiting, or lack of interest in eating. So some key points are like this restrictive of food intake. Individuals with ARFID severely limit their food intake, avoid entire food groups because of texture, color, smell. This restriction is not due to a concern about body weight or shape, as seen as in an anorexia nervosa, but rather stems from other factors such as sensory sensitivities or fear of negative consequences associated with eating. So that's a thing. Again, people on the spectrum might have this. People who aren't on the spectrum, who have high anxiety, these are things that happen. If you ever feel afraid, I want to say that this out loud. If you ever feel afraid that you might have one of these things that I'm talking about, it's really important to talk to a mental health professional to make sure that you have a good understanding of what's going on with you, because these are just generalizations for diagnostic purposes. I cannot say someone has ARFID unless I have spent time with them, talking to them, and figuring that out. So I just wanted to say that. There are three other things that I think are important with ARFID. So failure to meet nutritional needs. The restrictive eating pattern associated with ARFID can lead to significant nutritional deficits, such as weight loss or failure to gain weight, especially in children. This happens a lot with kids, impaired growth, and other health complications. So when we're failure to meet nutritional needs, this is where I'm seeing this with younger children. Psychological distress or impairment. ARFID can cause distress or impairment in various areas of life, including social functions, academic or occupational performance, and overall quality of life. Individuals with ARFID may experience anxiety or distress related to food or eating situations. So, I have a client who becomes very afraid to eat in social situations. She is terrified that she's going to choke or not be able to chew her food. In social situations, she has found that she has an easier time eating in other things. So one of the things we work on with is kind of an exposure therapy. So starting to eat with people that you feel more comfortable. I will sometimes eat with my clients to help them through that. The other thing with our food that's important to know, it can develop at any age, often begins in childhood, early at adolescence, but like other eating disorders, our food may persist into adulthood if left untreated. So ARFID differs from other eating disorders because the primary revolves around food avoidance or restriction of food intake rather than body image or concern about weight. And additionally, individuals with ARFID may not exhibit the same psychological features, body dissatisfaction, fear of weight gain, commonly seen in other eating disorders. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. I've had so many questions about it. And I think it's important. So I think it's important to have a really good team if you feel like you have an eating disorder. If you ever want to talk about any kind of eating issues, I'm more than happy to talk about that with anyone. You can get a hold of me on Instagram at the Hardcore Therapist, Gmail, the Hardcore Therapist at gmail.com, or my website, the Hardcore Therapist. Eating disorders are kind of one of my main passions just because I know that I have really struggled most of my life with feeling like I'm not enough because of how I look and food and changing bodies. And, it's a difficult thing. And I think it's difficult for lots of different people and not just, women. And I'm seeing it more in a bunch of different kinds of people. So, with that being said, this is the Hardcore Therapist talking about the differences between eating disorders and disordered eating. And again, if you have any questions, I am always happy to talk about these things. So I hope you all have a great day. And remember, send me questions so I can answer them. Take care.